Sie hören SBS German.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day for Australian football and for the country. Of course, Australia is a really, you know, proud and passionate sporting nation, always interested in hosting major sporting tournaments. And the last time we, you know, did one on a huge magnitude was Sydney 2000 Olympics, which is going to be long talked about by Australians who watched it and you know, were able to live through that experience. So being able to bring all of us, every Australian together, to unite through the Matildas, which is you know, one of our premier uniting forces in this country right now, a team that's loved by everyone, one of the most loved sporting brands in the country, and to see them performing on home soil in just 3 years' time, and I think, and I'm confident, you know, performing extremely well, because Australian teams always perform better at home when they have their home crowds behind them. They're really passionate home crowds. The Matildas certainly always perform well on home soil. So for us to be able to experience that journey with them through, you know, this major sport, one of the world's premier sporting tournaments, is going to be very, very special, not just for football people, but for every Australian. And, you know, when the Matildas take the field, they'll be a tapestry of so many different cultural backgrounds. They will have, you know, Indigenous players. They'll have all of the various migrant backgrounds of people who've come to make this country home. And they'll perform proudly, and we'll all sit there saying, this is the best of what Australia is. That's the power of sport. That's the power of football. That's certainly the power of Matildas. And that's why 2023 is going to be a really important year for Australia, socially as well as through sport.
Sadly, on that occasion, you won't be a commentator for SBS television. You're leaving us, Craig. Why?
Oh, it's just time to move on to other things. You know, the door's always open to still work on some sporting products, you know, and the network's talking about the next World Cup and so on. We'll see what happens a couple of years down the track. But, you know, I've got other challenges to take up and issues to fight. You know, in recent years, I've spent a lot of time outside the game as well, talking about, you know, refugees, asylum seekers, and human rights in sport. And my particular focus is on, you know, bringing sport into a space where it actually makes a real, genuine contribution to bettering humanity and society around the world. And that's the sport and human rights movement. Aside from that, you know, I'll still be involved in the media in a vast range of ways, so it won't be too different. And I'll never be too far away, but the 18 years that I've spent at SBS have been very, very special. I've had the gift, really, of spending, well, the vast majority of my 51 years in two of the most important social, cultural, connecting vehicles that you could do. One is football, and the second is SBS. And the uniting theme between those two is about cohesion, diversity, acceptance, equality, and multiculturalism. So, you know, I leave SBS after 18 years as what I would call an Australian WOP. And that means that, you know, I've been changed by multicultural Australia. I've been changed by football. I've been changed by SBS. And I'm in a better place, as is Australia, for the work of both football, SBS, and the diversity that we have here. And I like to think, you know, I'm probably a living example of that.
In those 18 years, who was the most important or most impressive footballer or coach you met?
Oh, gee. Well, I had, you know, some opportunity to interview some, you know, pretty impressive people on air, and perhaps Arsene Wenger might have been one of the better ones. You know, I've spent time through my position with, you know, many of the top practitioners in the world, and Pep Guardiola was, you know, a very interesting figure. You know, but also the people I worked with and within the football environment, you know, are great memories. You know, as are the moments that we shared on air, you know, that I shared with Lucy, that I shared with Les, that I shared with Johnny back in 2002, you know, and they were moments that were very much about what we've just discussed, that is uniting people. You know, football on SBS was never about just the beauty of the game. It was never about what a wonderful volley or an incredible goal. That was a very, very small part, if not the final or last part. The most important part of football for us was always bringing people together, connecting different communities, creating an understanding of the cultural tapestry of Australia and the world, and using football by bringing people together to create understanding, build bridges, and create a better country and world. So most of the great memories are around that. It's about how Socceroos brought the nation together in 05 and 06. And it's about Australia trying to achieve in the greatest game, the biggest game in the world, and the most difficult tournaments that mankind has devised. And the Matildas are going to have our first genuine opportunity to win that in 2023 on home soil. And that was the dream of SBS. You know, Johnny Warren, we all recall his comments this morning. As Gianni Infantino stood and announced Australia as the winner, like me, I'm sure many fans in the country, their mind turned to Johnny and theirs, and particularly Johnny's comments when he said, I've been trying to break down doors and campaigning for so long, and this great sporting nation has failed to really accept the beautiful game, the greatest game of all, he said. And when it does, and it will come, and when we do host and win a World Cup, then I just want people to remember I told you so. And so today is another really important step on that journey. And whether I'm at the microphone or someone else, the most important thing is that the journey continues to bring the values of sport and the principles of what football's about to create a better Australia.
You're a former Socceroo. You, I think, played in Germany. What is your view of the current Socceroos? Some people say they're a bit flat.
They're building, so they've gone through a regeneration phase, and you've got good new young players coming in. And interestingly, you see, and this is how football reflects society. And what happened is back in the in the early 70s, we had a strong German influence in the team, and Yugoslav, and then we went on to the 80s and 90s when I played, when we had a very strong Croatian, the Croatian diaspora in Australia had produced, extraordinary generations of players, so it was very much, Western European. And today you see coming through, Awer Mabil, a refugee from Africa, and you've got, Thomas Deng and others. So the face of the nation is changing, and that's reflected in the Socceroos. So they're coming through, they're young, they're precocious and very talented, but they're just a little bit inexperienced at the moment. We don't have the generation of players at the very top level of the game that we had back in 2006, and that's a factor of a lack of investment in production of players here. But what we might say on the other side is that the Matildas have taken that mantle and actually, have flipped the equation. So now, whereas in the 90s we had Harry Kewell at Liverpool and Tim Cahill at Everton and Mark Bosnich at Man United, now we've got Sam Kerr at Chelsea and Ellie Carpenter at Olympic Lyon, and Caitlin Ford and others playing at great clubs in the world. So the women are now playing in the best clubs in the world in Champions League football as the men used to do, but no longer. So, generations change in sport and particularly in football, and our generation of Socceroos is in the emergent stage now, whereas our Matildas are very much at their peak and really are very close to being at the top of the world. So their opportunity to do something in a couple of years' time couldn't be better timed. And as we said, with Les back in 06 when Australia lost to the penalty against Italy, and that pain was something that, the tension was something that none of us had ever felt, because we'd watched World Cup finals, but that's very different from watching a final, a knockout game in a World Cup when it's your own team, your own country there. And we said, listen, this is the future. When we get to this quarterfinal, or we get to the, and the women have been there already, but we get to the semi-final, and the day comes when we get to the final of a FIFA World Cup, women or male, doesn't matter. That's going to be something that Australia has never experienced before. And if indeed the women are able to win in only 3 years' time, which they're eminently capable of, that's going to be a nation-defining moment that's going to last in perpetuity.
You're speaking out courageously on social issues. That's unusual for football commentators.
That's true. Sport likes to say that it's apolitical. Right? Sport likes to try and force its athletes and the people who work within it not to talk about social issues. Sport likes to say that, well, we just come together in this space and no one is discriminated against and no one has any social views and no one has political views, while at the very same time, sport itself is endemically and deeply political. I mean, just look at what happened during this World Cup hosting bid. You know, the Prime Minister of Australia and the Prime Minister of New Zealand had to not only support the bid, but they had to patch in to talk to the Executive Council. So you've got directly, a national, state governments, heads of state who are having to actively promote and support these bids to a sporting body. So the politics is embedded very deeply in the fabric of sport, but it likes to try and pretend that it doesn't. So, and I don't think that's right. I support, athlete activism. I support athletes around the world who, over the course of history, like Billie Jean King or Kathy Freeman or Adam Goods or Carlos Smith and Norman, who make social statements through sport, through the platform that they have, and try to make society and the world a better place. I think they're obligated to do so, as am I. And so people in sport need help. And they are parts of different types of communities. And it's not enough just to say, well, we'll come together in a happy place and play together. No, we can actually help them, and we're obligated to do so. So, I'm spending some time, helping asylum seekers, refugees, working in human rights within sport, Indigenous issues and other things. And I think it's important that, particularly in Australia, but around the world, that all of us feel comfortable to do so. We have a right to do so. Human rights are called that for a reason. We have a right to help other people. We have an obligation as a community to support each other, and that often means speaking out. And COVID-19, I'm quite sure that was the lesson. Was that, when you took away, the social connectedness and made everyone stay in their homes, and, people realised how important it is to help others. And there was this incredible outpouring of social support and connectivity at the very moment when we're isolated in our own homes, for those of us fortunate to have one. So that lesson, I think, we cannot forget. We can't just go back to the old ways of selfishness and individualism. We have to all be brave enough to help other people who aren't being given the rights that we either have and too often take for granted, at whatever cost that brings to us. That's a necessity of human life and of shared humanity.
Craig, if you are inclined that way, could we see you one day in politics?
It's possible. I've always thought for the last 20 years that it's likely. Because I feel strongly about these types of social issues, and I think that Australia has, for a significant period of time now, demonised other people who've come here. I think we've got issues in terms of, acceptance of our multiculturalism. Whilst we trumpet it globally, and don't forget, in the World Cup bid document yesterday, Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, was talking about how we've got 200 different cultures here and how the World Cup could come and all of the teams will feel at home because you've got your own communities here. So on one hand, we're trumpeting our multicultural nature, and on the other, we've got communities who don't feel welcome. So that kind of incongruity, shouldn't exist. We need to really commit to saying, well, we need to be better at this, and we can't allow these narratives to perpetuate about different communities. So, it's possible. I don't think the time is right just yet. I've got other things to achieve in the next few years, but at some point in the future, it's quite likely that I'll put my hand up and say, look, it's time now to try and bring some policy reform on a national stage.
Craig, one of the most demonised Australians is Julian Assange, who we paid very little attention to. Wouldn't he deserve your support?
Yes, look, I've supported a whole range of causes, and at some point, you know, you also have to be a little bit careful that you don't just be, you know, you can get overloaded, both personally and I think also in the social domain. But yeah, I do believe that, you know, I'm in touch with a range of people around Julian, in fact, and I do believe that he deserves the support. Because his human rights are the same as yours or mine. And that to me is purely what it comes down to. He's a human being, he is an Australian, and he deserves the same support from the government as does any other Australian whose rights are being breached around the world, and politics shouldn't play a part in that. Everyone should be able to have, you know, their human rights upheld irrespective of what's going on. It's the same case for refugees and asylum seekers who I'm spending my main time, you know, advocating for at the moment and trying to solve what I see as a really significant social problem where Australia just can't move past this. And until we move past that and until we move past Indigenous rights and reconciliation, I don't think we can become the country that we're capable of being. And so these issues are ones that, you know, I feel really strongly about.
Good words, Craig. When will be your last day here at SBS?
Well, I finish in the end of July, so July is about having an opportunity for another month to, you know, just say goodbye to everyone. So, you know, we'll have some functions, you know, I'll have an opportunity to just, you know, spend some time at SBS thanking everyone who's, you know, been part of that journey and just reliving old times. And so, you know, the next month is going to be lovely from that perspective. But, you know, I'll never be too far away. You know, there's always possibilities to, you know, stay connected through football in different ways. And, you know, you can't spend 8 years there and not still be connected to both the people or the organisation.
Craig, good luck from all of us here at SBS Radio. And I hope we see you again sometime commentating on football.
Thank you. All right, I appreciate it.
Liken, teilen und kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte bei facebook.com/sbsgerman.